We are learning the Sicha in Chelek Yud Beis, Lekut HaSichas, Parshas B'chukaisai, the first Sicha. This Sicha is a Hadron, a conclusion on the Masechta of Bechoreis, as well as Hoireis. And the conclusion of this Masechta, is based on a mitzvah at the conclusion of our Parsha, Parshas B'chukaisai, the mitzvah of Meiser Behema. We're all familiar with the idea of giving Meiser, tithing from our possessions, which is based on the mitzvah of Meiser Peiros, tithing our grain and fruits in Eretz Yisrael. But there's also a mitzvah of tithing animals. And the way the Pasuk describes it, as we have it in our reading on text 1, V'chol Meiser Be'bakar V'tzoynuch HaShiyara Tachas HaShevet HaSidi Yekedesh LaShem. And as Rashi describes, that they take in reading two, that they would take in all their animals into the pen. They would allow them to go out one at a time, and they would count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then they would strike the 10th animal with a rod that had a red ink on it that would indicate that this is the 10th animal, and then that animal would be brought to the Beis HaMikdash as a carbon shlamim to be eaten by the kohenim and by the person who offered it. However, from the pasuk, the chol meiser bakar, all of the animals, the last mishnah of Bechoreis has an interesting halacha, as described in reading number 2. What happens if the person was counting and he said 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, and then he realized he didn't say 9, so he said 9, 10. So now, the ninth animal was called 10. The 10th animal is obviously the 10th animal. And the 11th animal, he said 10 again. So the Mishnah teaches us that all three of them have the halacha of being Meiser. Areza Meiser, all three of them are Meiser. That is, as we read, I'm sorry, that was reading number 3. However, it then follows with a machlekes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, where Rabbi Meir says that the 9th and 11th are also considered a temura. Oysa temura. Oysa temura means that if you take this animal that's essentially like a carbon and you exchange it for another animal, so then the kedusha transfers to the other animal. It's called a temura. It's another mitzvah in the Torah about exchanging animals. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, "V'chiyesh tmura," he said, "tmura, one animal that was already exchanged cannot be exchanged for another animal." And being that that's the case, so therefore Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that the 11th animal cannot become an exchange for a third, for another animal. Ain't tmura, he said, "tmura." Retorts Rabbi Meir, that if the 11th one is considered a tmura, so then why are you bringing it on the Mizbeach? A tmura, you exchange the animal, but you don't bring the tmura as a carbon. The fact that it's being brought as a carbon indicates that it's not a tmura. So we have Rabbi Yehuda considering the 11th animal as a tmura, as an exchanged animal, and Rabbi Meir saying that if it was an exchanged animal, it wouldn't be brought on the Mizbeach. And the Gemara says that we have a special limud according to Rabbi Yehuda, that even though generally a tmura is not brought on the Mizbeach, but we have a special limud for Rabbi Yehuda that this animal of Meiser is brought on the Mizbeach. To better understand the Svara the Machlekes, the Rebbe suggests as follows, that Rabbi Yehuda looks at the 9th and 11th carbon as being an extension of the 10th animal, which is essentially the one that's Kodesh. Asiri Yekodesh, 10th one that's Kodesh. And therefore, being that he sees the Kedusha of the 10th one extending to the 9th and the 11th, he therefore considers it to be like a tmura. In the Hebrew terminology that the Rebbe uses, it's a hispashtus of the Kedusha, not a Kedusha atzmi. It's an extension of the Kedusha, not an essential Kedusha. However, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda says, being that we consider it as an extension, so it's similar to a tmura, it's like a tmura, and therefore it cannot be exchanged for another animal. However, Rabbi Meir says that the Torah is mechadish over here, Agzeiris Melech, Agzeiris HaKasuv, that even though by mistake you counted the 11th as number 10, the number 10, and for that matter, the number 9, have an essential Kedusha. They are essentially Kaddish, they're essentially holy, just as the 10th one is. And the proof that Rameya brings to that is because if it was only an extension, it wouldn't be brought on the Mizbeach. Again, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that. He says that there's a unique limud, that even though a Meiser Tmura is an extension, it still goes on the Mizbeach. But being that Rameya holds that a Tmura would not go on the Mizbeach. So therefore, he says the fact that we see that it's being brought on the Mizbeach is an indication that it has a Kedusha Atzmius, that it's an essential Kedusha. Why does Rabbi Yehuda disagree with that? Why does Rabbi Yehuda insist that it's only an extension? So the Rebbe explains, because Rabbi Yehuda says that the reason why the 9th and the 11th become Kaddish is because we see them to be samuch, near the 10th one. How do we see that? Because if you by mistake call the 8th or the 7th 10, it doesn't work. That's for sure not Kaddish. Why is it only the 9th and the 11th that are Kaddish? It must be that it's because smuchen loy, because it's close to it, because it's an extension. In other words, as he sees it, as an extension of the Kedusha of the 10th, of the 10th animal. And that's what makes the 9th and the 11th Kaddish, because they're close to the 10th, the extension is able to achieve to there. To better understand this, the Rebbe introduces the Siyum of Masechtas Haidias. In your reading, you have a long story in reading number 8 about about a story that took place between Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rav Meir Rav Nosson. I'm only going to give the Nekud of the story as the Rebbe brings it, which is Negeya to our Sicha. But if you read in the reading there, it's a very interesting story. And the point is that Rav Meir Rav Nosson wanted to remove Rav Shimon ben Gamliel from being a Nasi. So they schemed, how can we do this? And they came up with an idea that the next day they're going to ask Rav Shimon Gamliel a question in Masechtas Uktzin, the last Masechta of the Taras, and they were assuming that they would be able to catch him without being able to explain it. And then they would say that the Pasuk says, Mi Yimal Gvuras Hashem, Yashmiya Kol Tehillah Say, who's fit to praise Hashem? In other words, to be the Nasi, only one that could say Kol Tehillah Say, and being that he cannot say all of the praise, he doesn't know Uktzin, don't remove him from being Nasi. Davish to help, Ashkacha Pratis of Shimon Gamliel got an inspiration to learn Uktzin. You'll see in the story how that came about. And that night he learned Masechtas Uktzin, and when they came the next day and he asked the question, he was able to answer it. And then when they got to the root of what was going on, they realized what was happening, and therefore they decided to punish Rav Meir Rav Nosson, that whenever they use a teaching for Rav Meir, they're going to refer to it as Acherim Oimrim, others say, without actually saying his name. And when they say Halacha from Rabbi Nosson, they're going to say Yesh Emre. There's those that say without saying his name. That's story number one. Story number two takes place in the next generation. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, a descendant from Shimon Gamliel, is teaching his son Rabbi Shimon the Mishnah that we were discussing about, but in the name of Achim, not Rameir. And that's the reason why it's a continuation to that story. Achedim Oimrim, Rameir, known as Achedim, as others, says that if it was a Tmura, Lo Yayakarit, if the 11th one's considered a Tmura, it wouldn't be brought on the Mizbeach. And that indicates that the 11th one has a Kedusha Atzmi, and therefore it could make another Tmura, as we learned in the previous Mishnah of the end of Bechayis. So Reb Shimon turned to his father. He said, who's this person whose teachings we're learning, but we're not saying his name? They were calling him Achayin. So Rebbe responded, it's the people that wanted to uproot your honor and your family's honor. So Reb Shimon told his father, the Pasuk of Keheles, Kam Avasim, Kam Sinasim, Kam Kenasim, Kar Avada, Kar Avda, the hatred is lost. In other words, let's let go. So then he taught it to him again, and he told him, Mishum Rameir, in the name of Rameir it was said, Eloi Tmura Laikar, if it was a Tmura, it would have not been brought. That's the second story, and we understand the connection between the two. The first story was about how Rameir was started be calling Acher, Then we bring a story of Rebbe sharing this information with his son Rav Shimon using the context of our Mishnah that we were learning in Chedes. But then the Gemara concludes with the following, that there was Machloik Sin Rav Shimon Gamliel and Chachamim. One of them say that Sinai is better, the other one says Iker Harim is better. Sinai means like Har Sinai, someone who has a lot of information, someone who's extremely knowledgeable and knows all of Torah. And the Iker Harim means someone who uproots mountains, referring to someone who's very sharp and able to study. And they had a debate, what's more important, someone who's a Sinai or Iker Harim? And they sent a message to here that says that Sinai is better because everyone needs Marechate, everyone needs wheat. In other words, everyone you need, and before you can start being mefalpel, you need to know the information. So everyone needs the information. What is the connection between these two? How does this come to that in the Masechta? So the Rebbe brings up from a sefer called Be'er Sheva, and you have that in your reading, number nine, that the Be'er Sheva says that the Machlokes of Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim of Sinai Eikar Harim, which one is more important, is the same Machlokes of Meir Amnasan of Shimon Gamliel that led to the dispute between them, which why Rav Meir and Amnasan wanted to send Rav Shimon Gamliel out. And in his understanding, from the story we see, that the Meir and Amnasan were assuming that Rav Shimon Gamliel didn't know Masechtas Uktzin. So therefore, what would have been Rav Shimon Gamliel's greatness? It would seem that his greatness would be that he was very sharp, and he was an Iker Harim, he understood, he was Mefalpo. And therefore, whereas the Meir and Amnasan were greater in their knowledge base. So therefore, they said, hey, we'll ask him Masechtas Uktzin. Who knows Masechtas Uktzin? And if no one knows Uktzin, we're able to catch him. However, Shimon Gamliel, Ashkacha Pratis, learned to Masechta, and they couldn't catch him. And therefore, in the continuation to that story, the Gemara concludes the debate of Sinai and Iker Harim. That's the Be'er Sheva's explanation, which means that Rav Meir was a Sinai, knowledgeable, and Shimon Gamliel was a sharp person. But his explanation is a little bit difficult because we find in the Gemara Sanhedrin, and again, these, I'll say them outside, but you have them in the readings there, 10, 11, and 12. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that whoever sees that man in the Beis Medrash, they would see how he was Iker Hari Harim, mountains upon mountains, and would be grind them together, an expression trying to explain how deep and how sharp Rameir was in his learning. And in other words, we see that Meir was an Iker Harim, not a Sinai. Another Gemara says in Eidavin that that the halacha should have really been like Rav Meir, but because no one was able really to understand him thoroughly because he was so deep, therefore they couldn't paskin like him. Again, showing how not just how knowledgeable he was, but how deep he was, how Iker Harim he was, how sharp he was in his learning. To the extent that the Gemara says that even his student Sumchas was able to give you 48 reasons for something to be tired and 48 reasons for something to be tired. And furthermore, in Gemara Saita we find that Rabbi Akiva first went to learn by Rabbi Meir, but he didn't understand what was going on. So he went to Rabbi Yishmael, and from Rabbi Yishmael he learned a lot of information, so now he had a good knowledge base, and then he went back to Rabbi Meir, and he was able to be mefalpel and understand Rabbi Meir's teachings, and to understand everything that he was explaining. So what we see from all these Gemaras is very clear that Rabbi Meir's greatness was being Iker Harim, whereas with Be'er Sheva saying that it was the other way around. And therefore, we need to find another explanation. But before we go there, Rebbe points out another couple of questions in the Gemara. Number one, why do we refer to Rav Meir as Acherim, as others, not like Yesh Eimim for Rav Nasan? Second of all, what does it mean that we refer to Rav Meir as Acherim? There's tens of places in Mishnah and Gemara Braises that refer to Rav Meir by his name. Why are we saying that we call him Acherim? And it's a doichik to say that all the teachings that have his name are teachings that he said prior to being placed into this achedim status. And the third question that Rebbe asks is, what is the connection to our Gemara of Bechedis that we brought up earlier to this Gemara? In other words, yes, we understand the continuum of the story, but the Gemara seems very much not just bringing the story, but which halacha they were learning when Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon had the discussion. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi and Rabbi Shimon had the discussion about Rabbi Meir, and the fact to the point that it even repeats it with Rabbi Meir's name. So it seems that this halacha is connected to the situation, to the discussion as well. So the Rebbe therefore takes the explanation as follows. The truth is that the Be'er Sheva is onto something. That this Gemara at the debate of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is a debate about Sinai Eika Harim. But not the way he explained it, that Rabbi Meir was the Sinai and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was the Eika Harim, but the opposite. And in fact, if we take a look at the wording of the Gemara, it says that it was a debate between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim. Chachamim alluding to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nosson. Chadam, or one of them said, Sinai is better. The Chadam, the other one said, that Eika Harim is better. And the rule is, that when the Gemara says Chadam or the Chadam, or without saying the name, we usually say that it goes in the order of the names that were listed, which means, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Chacham had a debate. Chadam, or one of them being Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, saying Sinai. The Chadam, and the other one being the Chacham, and Rabbi Nosson, they say Eika Harim. So therefore, from the language of the Gemara, it's actually more appropriate to say that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was the Sinai, and Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nosson were the Eikar Harim, were the sharp ones. And this fits well with the Gemara that we said before. And therefore, it wasn't pshat that they were going to try to chap Rabbi Shimon Gamliel on a Mishnah that he never learned. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Nasi, certainly learned Uktzin, and he knew Uktzin, and he was familiar with the information. He was a Sinai. He knew it all. The issue was, how deep did he know it? In other words, was he a Eika Hardim? Could they ask him a complicated question in Nuktzin? In Masechta, over which the Gemara says, that when Rabbi Yehuda, the Amoyer Rabbi Yehuda, when he looked at this Gemara, this Masechta, he said, I see questions of Rav and Shmuel here. I see it as a complicated Masechta. So they figured they'll go to a complicated Masechta. Of course, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel will know the information, but will he be able to chap our deep questions that we'll ask him on there? The Pashkacha Pratis, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel learned the Masechta very well. And of course, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel learned the Masechta well, he also was able to understand the depth of it. And they couldn't catch him on the question. It may have not been his expertise to be an Eika Harim, but he certainly was able to learn the Mishnah in a way that when he focused on it, Rabbi Meir Nosson wouldn't be able to catch him. And this was the Machlekes, and this is what happened. Rabbi Meir said, and the Gemara follows up that this was Machlekes, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, be a Sinai. Rabbi Meir said, be an Eikar Harim. And that explains what the core of the machlekes between them were. As the Rebbe explained many times, that there's a famous debate. What is better? Eichus or Kamus? Quantity or quality? Which means, what if I have a lot of something, but not good quality? And I have a little bit of something, but it's great quality. Which one should I take first? And the Rebbe speaks about this in many different sichas and letters of kamus or eichas, which one's more important, which one is stronger. And this is the same debate between Sinai and Eikar Harim. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is the opinion that Sinai, the more knowledge you have, the more kamus you have, the more quantity you have, the better off you'll be. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nosson argued, and they said, no, Eikar Harim. Eichus, quality, even if you don't have a vast knowledge, but you have a deep knowledge, you have a quality knowledge, you're qualitatively more knowledgeable, that is a better route to take. And therefore, when they decided to punish Rav Meir, they said, we're going to punish Rav Meir, we're going to call him a chedim. But the bottom line is, Rav Meir was a unique Eikar Harim. In fact, Hare Harim, mountains upon mountains, we saw the Gemara refer to him earlier. And therefore, the Gemara said, Rabbi Meir is achedim, he's others. In other words, a hint to a maila, that he's on another league. He is far greater than everyone else. And at the same time, Rav Nosson, who was also at Eikar Harim, they punished him, but they only called him Yeshemim, others say. Because even between a Meir and Rav Nosson, a Meir was far greater of Eikar Harim, of a deep and sharp learner than Rav Nosson. And this is the unusual characterization of Rav Meir. On one hand, because he tried to uproot Rabbi Shimon Gamliel from being the Nasi, they want to punish him, but at the same time, because he was a unique Eikar Harim, they referred to him as Achedim, the other, someone who was in another league, and so on. This Machlekes, Sinai or Eikar Harim, or Kamas or Eichos, is also the root of the Machlekes that we began with in Masechtas Bcheirus in Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda, whether the Kedusha of the 11th animal is inherently Kadesh, or whether it's only an extension. If you say like Rabbi Yehuda that it was only like a tmura, meaning an extension of the kedusha of the tenth one, that is because Rabbi Yehuda is looking at the kamus. He sees the kedusha of kamus, the kedusha of quantity, being more important, and therefore he sees that this animal, the ninth and the 11th, have the quantity of the kedusha of the tenth one extend to them as well. But it's only an extension. It's a quantitative extension of the kedusha, and therefore we treat it like a tmura, with the unique exception that it can be brought on the mizbeach, but it can't create another tmura. But Rabbi Meir disagrees, and Rabbi Meir says that eichus is more important. To me, the more important thing is the quality of something, and therefore the fact that the Torah says that even the 11th becomes holy is because the quality of the Kedusha of the 11th one is present there as well. Its own quality of Kedusha. It's not just the quantity of the 10th one spreading out to the 9th and the 11th. The quality of the Kedusha, meaning the Eichus, the strength, the Atzmius, Kedusha, the inherent Kedusha, is present in the 10th one as well. It's just that the Torah says that only if it's the 9th and the 11th will it have this inherent Kedusha. Once you make a mistake and call the 8th, 10th, and so on, the inherent Kedusha can't be there even with its Eichus. And therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, we treat the animal as inherently Kedusha with the Eichus that it deserves. So here we see the connection between the two stories. The Gemara begins with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Chacham and Rabbi Meir and Nasin having a debate of what's more important, Sinai and Eichah Harim. Rabbi Meir trying to get rid of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel by showing that he's not an Eichah Harim. The Eivshter helped that it didn't work. Rabbi Meir then gets punished to be called Achirim, giving him the honor of being unique, but not being mentioned by name. Then the Gemara says, Rebbe taught his son of Shimon that this is what was behind Rav Meir saying the halacha, Achenim at that point, saying the halacha about Mechayres, that it can't be that the 11th one is a Tmura, the 11th one is also inherently Kedusha because it's Eichos, and this is this concept that led him to say this halacha is the same idea what led him to fight with our ancestor of Shimon Gamliel, because he saw Eichos as being so important, Eichah Harim being so important. This 11th animal having a inherent kedusha that of eichus of quality. Rav Meir, Rav Shimon tells his father, "Let's move on." So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says, "You know what? Okay, we'll say it, but we're still not going to say his name because ultimately this learning is what led to the trouble. So we'll call him Mishum Rav Meir. The name of Rav Meir was said, and that way." He was able to say the halacha about Eichus that led to the trouble with his family, saying Rav Meir without giving him the full Arichus. Based on this, we could also understand the question, the big question that we had, is what happened to all the places that says Rav Meir by his name? And the Rebbe suggests here a very interesting answer, that the Mishnayis that are about Eichus, where Rav Meir's halacha is based on his worldview, that Eichus is more important than Kamos, that quality is more important than quantity. In those Mishnayos, we call them Achirim, because it's those Mishnayos, it's that worldview that led him to create this, the argument to Rav Shimon Gamliel, for which he was punished to call Achirim. However, the Mishnayos that Rav Meir says halacha that's unrelated to his worldview of Eichus, of being more important than Kamos, of quality over quantity, in those Mishnayos we refer to him by name. In the footnote in the Sicha, the Rebbe goes through all of brings many Marim Mekaymis where the mayor's name is mentioned, and sort of leaves it up into us to go search out and to make sense of it. And I'll leave that up to you to be able to follow up. So to summarize, we have a machlekes at the conclusion of Masechtas Bechiras, where a mayor says that if someone by mistake called the 11th animal number 10, the 11th animal is also Meiser, but even not only also Meiser, but it has the Eichus, it has the quality of Meiser, to the point that it has its inherent Kedusha, that it could create a Temura, it could create an exchange animal. And the proof is that it's being brought on the Mizbeach, which tells us that it has the inherent quality of Meiser. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he says that the only reason why the 10th and the 9th animal are also holy is because they have the kamus, they have the overflowing quantity of Kedusha that the 10th one has that spreads to the 9th and the 11th in this circumstance when he made a mistake. And therefore, it's really only an extension of the Kedusha, and therefore, it's like a Tmura, and it cannot create another Tmura. And this machlaikis, or this concept of Rav Meir thinking of echus, quality being more important than quantity, is what led to him disagreeing with Rav Shimon Gamliel, as described in the end of Masechta Sfeiros, that he understood that being a Eikar Harim, having the quality of Eikar Harim, the quality of learning, more important than the quantity of a Sinai, like Rav Shimon Gamliel, and therefore he was scheming to remove Rav Shimon Gamliel from his Nisius, but ultimately Rav Shimon Gamliel Nashkacha Pratis outwitted him and was able to answer his questions and remained on his post. And at the same time, and then the Gemara continues to tell us that this story is connected to the story in Bechereis, and ultimately this is the Machlekes of Sinai and Eikar Harim as described at the end of the Masechta.